Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Do you ever find yourself thinking about who would win in a fight between Goku and Superman? Hi, I'm James Gavsey, and on the Who Would Win show, me and my co-host Ray ignore anything important happening in the outside world and debate fictional battles between characters from comics, movies, and video games.
We got a new show every week, and almost always am I the winner.
Yeah, not true, Ray.
In the past, we've discussed such matches as Captain America versus Darth Vader, Solid Snake versus the Iron Giant, classic matchups like RoboCop versus Terminator, and even the Muppets versus Sesame Street.
That one was crazy. So if you're a fan of geek culture and love a spirited debate, check out the Who Would Win show wherever you get your podcasts, or check us out at whowouldwinshow.com.
And with the collapse of the former superpower,
several powerful factions now vying for control.
The threat is real. An evil organization calling itself Scar.
Known only as Scar.
Their goal,
nothing short of total
world dominance.
Led by this man,
known only as Iron Claw.
We will be victorious!
Not on my watch!
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe
Care Bear
podcast.
Sunglasses are $35.
What is happening right now? Miss Gina Ippolito, guys, I have to be done because I have so many things to do, is interrupting the intro.
I'm just saying I'm shocked that these Care Bear sunglasses are $35.
They know their target demo.
Yeah, I was going to say, it was a targeted Facebook ad to you. They know they can get $35 out of you for Care Bear sunglasses.
Man. But can they?
I mean, we're about to find out.
Can, yeah.
By the end of this episode, we'll know.
Oh, no.
I'm Robert Clark Chan.
I'm Gina Ippolito.
No, we already know who you are.
Yeah, we already
know. Because Ray introduced you because you were being unprofessional.
Yeah, you know, but every people to hear my voice because I know sometimes they get the three of us confused. That's
fair. That is fair. Yeah, a lot of the time. Now, I had a point. I've already blown it. So today we're actually talking about G.I. Joe Extreme. This is an episode called Iron Claw Unmasked, and we're just going to keep telling the story of G.I. Joe Extreme. This is another episode that made me pretty happy at the end of the day. I'm excited to see what y'all think about it. But G.I. Joe Extreme, for those of you who, you know, this is maybe your first episode. I don't know. That's kind of crazy.
What?
This would be it. But it's somebody's first episode every episode. So, hi. Welcome to the show.
Is it? I think you vastly overestimate how many new people we have per episode.
No, we get lots of new people. We just keep hemorrhaging the old ones. That's the problem.
Okay, I see. That makes sense.
It's like Twitter under Elon Musk. You know, all of a sudden we lose 1,000 followers just overnight, randomly. But they're
replaced
replaced by 100 robots who want to shout racist epithets at us. So I believe free speech wins out in the end. Am I right? This is all holding up. G.I. Joe Extreme is a wonderful show from the mid-90s. This is season 2 of G.I. Joe Extreme, and in the story right now, Clancy, the leader of G.I. Joe on the, you know, administrative side, has been replaced by villain Iron Claw and the season finale of season 1. He's trying to run G.I. Joe into the ground and, in fact, nearly killed Lieutenant Stone, putting him in a coma, but Stone's the only one who knows the truth. What will happen? Let's find out.
Dun, dun, dun.
I enjoyed this. I enjoyed this episode. There were several points that really delighted me. So it remains. I keep sort of going in with low expectations. And it surprises me each time. I don't know why. By now I should know. I feel like I was burned so badly by Deke. It's like someone dating a shitty guy. And yeah. Like the next guy you date isn't shitty, but like every time you go somewhere, you're like, oh God, how's he going to be shitty this time? And then he's not. And you're like, oh, 5 years into this thing and he's still not shitty, but next time he'll be shitty.
Or you could be like, you know, I'm sure Robert Clark Chan and be like, oh, how are they going to be shitty this time? They're not being shitty. Well, dang it.
Saying Chan loves pain?
Chan, tell me I'm wrong.
Gina is correct.
Thank you.
Ray is partially correct, I guess. I mean, here's the thing. Like, this episode, it was fine.
Oh,
there was not a lot that, like, you know, made me mad.
You're killing me. You're killing me worse than you killed me on the Who Would Win show earlier this week, D-head.
cross promotion here? I don't know.
Robert Clark Chan heard my definitely great argument, and then at the end of the day, while wearing my face on his shirt, looks me dead in the eyes and says, "You lose." And it was I was hurt. I was hurt by it.
I don't know if you've heard this show, but me saying "you lose" is one of the great joys of my life. So
I know. And actually, I love, honestly, it's one of my great joys is when we do Who Would Win and you gloriously give me the victory, and I could tell no part of you is happy about it. Like, that's truthfully the other side of that coin.
But I know, as someone pointed out on Twitter the last time that I think I called James a couple of bad names.
Yes, you may have done that in the last episode. Yes.
I don't know. It's like you're voting for the lesser of two evils on that podcast, Chan.
Not wrong.
But enough talk about this other show. Let's talk about Iron Claw Unmasked, because the show opens up pretty much as I just said it. You know, Stone is infirmed, and Clancy has a cover story where he says, "We actually went to the informant, but we got jumped," which absolutely did not happen that way at all. The informant is dead because Clancy took him in and got him murdered. And then that was after he tried to murder Lieutenant Stone. But as long as Stone stays silent, Clancy's in the clear, thus creating the entire blueprint for this episode. We've got a guy in a hospital, a regular old hospital, although I got some thoughts about that as well. And he's in a coma. If and when he wakes up, he's going to spill the beans about all the bad guys. Bad guys got to kill him.
Yeah. But also, you know, like I would be hoping for, if I was Iron Claw, I would be hoping for like brain damage or something. Like maybe he'll wake up a vegetable. But I will say, like, a couple things I like right out of the gate is that they don't, you know, like, I've noticed with this, I don't know if it's like for a slightly older age range or something than maybe Deke or G.I. Joe, but they never feel the need to, like, really hammer stuff home. Like, I feel like if this was Deke era G.I. Joe, like, they would have, you know, Clancy sort of fake Clancy saying like, oh, and then we got jumped, and then like talking to a henchman off to the side and being like, I told them a lie. None of that happened. I just made up a lie. And like they didn't. They just sort of dive you right back into the action, assuming you remember what happened last time. And there's like kind of a cool, I mean, you know, again, my low expectations when I say cool, but like Clancy has a line because the Joes immediately start turning on each other. The ones that weren't already turned on each other, you know, Metalhead is sort of getting ganged up on here. And so they all start saying like, oh, it could have been like, maybe it was you, like you long haired fucking heavy metal freak.
I couldn't believe they said that.
Like, I don't even know where you're from. Where's your accent from, you weirdo? And then someone's like, you're a lady in the military. What kind of weirdo are you? Maybe they said all these things. I don't know if they did, but
the intent was there. Yeah.
Yeah.
But then Clancy says, actually, it could be any of you. And I like the fact that he says any of you instead of any of us. I thought that was like a very good little bit of writing that he's clearly sowing doubt and he doesn't want to put any attention on himself. So he says it could be any of you. And I was like, I wonder if I was in that room, if I would be like, you mean any of us, bitch? Like, you're in this team, too. But the fact that he said you, I liked that little bit of writing.
That is good. Yeah.
Yeah. In terms of like subtle things, while still driving home, you know, the story for kids who may not be, you know, paying close enough attention, or like a young Ray would be just like, wait a minute, that's sexy Ironclaw.
Clancy is Ironclaw.
There was this one time where Clancy like passed through a shadow and then he turns into Ironclaw and then it passes right back. It just is like a fun like little reminder that isn't doesn't hammer you over the head, but you're like, right. And then they kind of like make it a style choice. I mean, it's already a style choice, but then like later on, Clancy's standing there and you know, it's like, oh, you're the bad guy. And then there's like an explosion behind Clancy, a big cloud of dust. And then he's Ironclaw after the cloud of dust. And it just seems, it's real fun that like whenever his face gets obscured, like he'll just turn back into Ironclaw.
The word you're looking for is unrealistic and demands an explanation for how he changes so quickly.
Theatrical. He was a drama kid, and there is no way he's going anywhere without having a smoke bomb ready to make a big entrance. Like he got himself an entire damn army so that when he wants to go for the big reveal, he's got something to back him up.
See, I now picture Gina at the basketball game when they have the halftime show of like the guy with the hula hoop and he's wearing a suit. And then all of a sudden he puts the hula hoop down and now he's wearing like something completely different. And I just picture Gina, you know, from the third row center court, stands up and points and goes, I demand an explanation.
No, yeah, I've drowned many of those guys as witches. I've drowned every hula hoop guy at a basketball game I have ever seen. I mean, apparently none of them were witches because they all died, but you know, maybe it's just maybe they'll come back in a couple of years. Who knows how witches work?
There's a reason why when we went to Penn and Teller, we didn't invite you, Gina.
But to be fair though, for Gina at the basketball game, she also thinks you're a witch if you're above like 6'3". So she really has a hard time at the NBA.
I've drowned a lot of professional. No one has seen Larry Bird in years. So
Spud Webb is the only one who's safe.
Spud Webb, you got Muggsy Bogues and barely John Stockton. That's it.
I also like that now that Chan has basically spoiled it, I like that this title of this episode pays off. It was, again, I don't know why I expect the worst, most abusive relationship from this show,
but
the episode was titled Ironclaw Unmasked. And like a couple minutes in, I was like, they're probably not going to unmask him. They said they were going to unmask him, but they probably lied. And then it became clear, like, they were going to unmask him. And I was like, you kept your promise. You met me on the top of the Empire State Building.
See, what you need to understand is that Gina's standards at this point have been set so low.
Yeah.
Somebody just giving you a title of a thing that's going to happen and then presenting it as something that actually happens blows her mind.
Yeah. I'm like, I will date this show for 10 years.
I feel like that's something God you should talk to a therapist about. Not a thing that I normally say because obviously this show is therapy, but I feel like we are at our limits here and you need a professional to look in and, you know, give you some advice maybe.
No, I think that the only thing that I need is to keep watching an episode of He-Man here and there. And then I'm like, oh, okay, yes, I remember there are still bad shows out there. I need to hold on to G.I. Joe Extreme. Otherwise, G.I. Joe Extreme is going to go to a sexier podcast.
Getting back to the hotel room, the hospital room.
Oh, Ray.
Absolutely nobody wants to leave Stone's side because they're like, they're going to try to murder him. He's in a coma. He's one of our leaders. And nobody wants to leave. And I think that's very nice of them. But then Clancy says, we've got the fighting 48th military squadron. They've got the whole hospital covered. Y'all can go on your missions. Don't worry about this guy. And they're like, we don't feel good about this. He's like, go ahead. And so they begrudgingly
leave. He orders them. He does order them. Like, he doesn't give them an option because they make it clear that they're going to want to stay. Which, like, honestly, if I was in that, this is why I'm not in the G.I. Joes. If I was in that room, I would be like, well, I know it's not me, so I'm gonna leave. Like, you guys can, I'm gonna go home, I'm gonna get some sleep. If you guys are all here doing your thing, I'm gonna go watch some TV.
Now wait a minute. You know that it's not you, so you absolutely take the chance that whoever it is the only one who's staying.
Yeah, I mean, it can't be all of them. So if one person's gonna leave, but like I know I won't look suspicious because I'll be like, well, I'm like, you know, because like you risk that if you leave and nothing happens, you know, you might risk them being like, well, there was only one person that wasn't here and he didn't try to be killed. But I feel confident someone's going to try and kill him. So I would be like, yeah, all right. You guys got it covered.
Except but that's exactly leaving. What Metalhead did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you. Go ahead, Chan. Sorry.
Nope. That was it. That's all I was going to say.
Metalhead did do that and he got in deep shit. So,
okay. I guess I'm the Metalhead in this situation. I
mean, this is true. Gina is the Metalhead of the show.
And well, fact. What I love about it though is that they're all just like, okay, we're gonna go. They leave, and within like 5 seconds, Clancy turns to the fighting 48th because he's really Iron Claw.
Zero chill. Says,
you guys are all dismissed.
Yeah.
No watch necessary. Bye bye, soldiers.
Yeah, here's the thing. This was like sort of the one unbelievable moment to me where I was like, okay, but they immediately fixed it because they are military guys, and if someone is giving them an order, you know, they're not like the Joes. They're not a cool, you know, subsection of it. They're just regular grunts. So if someone does say you guys leave, they're gonna leave. And then the writers even added in that one of them did tip off the Joes. Like, one of them called them and said, like, hey, this is kind of shady, which, to be honest, is probably more than, you know, I don't know. I don't want to disparage the military, but like, I don't know if someone would rat out a superior officer like that.
Yeah. Gina hates the military. Just go ahead and make that a hashtag.
That's what I got out of it. Yep.
But yeah, I did like that there was, that they actually covered that base, because I thought that at the time I was like, yeah, but like one person in this entire division is going to be like, hey, that's kind of weird.
Yeah.
So
the other thing that I kind of noticed is when they cut to the outside of the hospital room where Stone was being kept, they had Stone's name on the door. Now they don't normally do that at hospitals where I come from. So he must be getting the VIP treatment at this hospital.
I guess if they assume you're going to be there for a while and you're going to have visitors, maybe. I mean, isn't it usually just like a little card that they stick into the
plastic
but he had like a card hold?
He had like a full nameplate.
I mean, he's in a coma. He's going to be there for a while. Yeah. Also, he's the leader of G.I. Joe, so they're going to be using that card again and again and again.
Great point. Each one of them has their own card.
It's the Duke policy.
But I do love the fact that, because is this where he sort of starts to come to knock off Duke?
Not quite yet, but okay. I mean they're teasing it. They're teasing it at this point.
Because at some point he starts to come to, and Clancy just fucking punches him.
Okay,
and
that's like love. We got a ways to go to that, and I loved that. Yeah, we'll get there. Oh my gosh, it was beautiful. But now it's after hours. G.I. Joe got the call. Or at least Savage got the call, and then he disseminated to everybody else except Metalhead, who literally nobody called him. He just came back on his own because it didn't feel right, which should honestly make him like the least logical suspect, right?
No, because the Stone's plan was that he calls everybody but Metalhead.
Yeah.
Which means that if Metalhead does show up, then that means that he got tipped off by...
Oh, I thought it means if he shows up, he's clearly coming to kill him.
That's what I got out of it. Yeah, but I don't buy that though. Like, also anybody who Savage called could call Metalhead. Like, they're not mad.
No, he probably said specifically, "Don't call Metalhead." I'm guessing because no one did apparently.
Clancy probably said specifically to the fight in 48th, nobody called G.I. Joe, but they still did it. Although had he said that on the episode, it would have been magical. I'm gonna put that out there right now. And so everybody's there. He's like, okay, we're gonna go do a thing. Metalhead goes off on his own, and Savage says very specifically, and I remember I took a note because I'm like, this is gonna come up. He says, don't mess with the staff or the hospital people who work here. You know,
again, again, another thing that I liked because. And there's a point later too where there's like grenades and they were like, don't worry, they're smoke grenades. And I was like, wow, they really, because I mean, it's sort of the one thing that He-Man isn't, which is consistent. Like they right. know that this group of Joes isn't reckless with civilian lives. So I like that they put all of these things in. I like all of these little details for me made this a good episode.
And so, I mean, what ends up happening here is, and this is what I thought was a great moment, is an ambulance shows up and there are, what is it, six EMT doctors and three patients all being wheeled in on gurneys, all looking very generic. And in my head, like, okay, obviously that's Scar. And I was thinking about, like, if this was Deke era and they were doing this episode, it wouldn't have been a smart plan like this to get through the hospital. It would have been like Metalhead barely dressed as a party clown on a unicycle. just trying, nobody look at me. And he's just like unicycling badly through the hallway. And G.I. Joe would have been like, well, he's a happy clown here to entertain the kids. And I'm just like, what a difference. What a difference a series makes as far as wanting me to take it seriously.
Yeah. Yeah. The fact that like they say, don't mess with hospital, you know, day-to-day hospital operations, it serves two purposes here. Like it's basically showing that they're conscientious and obviously, you know, there's patients and there's doctors, but then it also explains why none of them are immediately like, hey, wait, we need to search you doctors that are coming in and stuff. Because, you know, if you're a kid, you could buy like, oh crap, like maybe there was like a big accident and they're coming in and they're just doing it to add chaos instead of automatically saying this is kids sometimes aren't as smart as a full grown Ray, is what I'm saying.
What? I have not found that to be true.
Sometimes.
Most of the time.
One of the things that I noticed though is like there's nobody else in this hospital. No matter where we look, it seems like no one's here. And I know it's after hours, but hospitals generally are pretty bustling places of activity, unless
Wait,
I'm horribly
when they
mistaken.
Open doors into other patients' rooms, are those patients all?
That happened no. one time, and there was one patient in that room who was sleeping.
No, there were no. Later on, when the assassins bust out, there's at least two people in their rooms who
yeah.
open the door, like, "What's going on?" Whoa,
oh, you're no. right. Okay,
yeah.
But so there ended up being more people.
Those were real patients, right?
Okay, yeah, that's fair. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. yeah. Well, they did it. They, at some point, they had the Joes go around and like sort of look into rooms and see other yeah. people there.
So this is what I liked about it is the fact there was one Joe who was guarding Stone, and everybody else was or no, what was it? Yeah, so he was on the outside of the room, and then there was a guy on the inside of the room, right? Savage on the inside of the room, and guy whose name I'm blanking on the outside of the room. And so you got the six doctors who all of a sudden get like called out by the guy, the guard outside for G.I. Joe. And they're just like, hey, you're here. This is weird. You guys are here. Only this is where Stone is. There shouldn't be wheeling three patients up here. Could you?
Also,
and immediately they blow their cover and start.
You're like three guys who are like 400 pounds. You have.
Yeah.
4 foot wide broad shoulders.
It was like the Captain America elevator scene.
Yeah.
Just the biggest, beefiest guys just all of a sudden just show up in this elevator. But what I liked about this is the six fake doctors are fighting the G.I. Joe guy outside, and they end up like they pull him away from the door. At which point, once the coast is clear, the three patients reveal themselves to also be assassins in a coordinated effort. And they go in the room and they attack Sergeant Savage. And I'm just like, this plan is the shit. I think this is way better than anything I could have imagined the show was going to give me walking in the door on episode one of season one. Thank you, G.I. Joe Extreme.
Indeed.
They end up breaking down the door to the room, and Savage is like, I could be effed here. I'm going to have to fight all three of these guys, and I don't really have any cover.
Can I just say that whoever that guy is, the roadblock of this show, his gun shoots like circles, which
I
don't know what they are, but like he was chasing him around with them, and it just looked like a bubble gun. I couldn't really take him that seriously.
Can I tell you, being somebody who's been listening for no reason at all to a lot of sound effects of guns firing, for no reason at all, you also come across a whole lot of sci-fi-esque weapons sounds on those things as well. So because I had been looking at that recently, when he started shooting, I was like, yeah, that's pretty much how it works. Sometimes you get real guns. Sometimes you get bloopy sci-fi guns. This all tracks. They are side by side. This is fine. So Savage holds off all three of them with this cool move where he throws the grenade. And like Gina said, it was a smoke grenade that they call out because he's not going to throw a real grenade. They don't know this, but he's not going to risk injuring people in a hospital with a real live grenade in a hallway.
Yeah, so I did write down grenade in a hospital, and literally like a second later, he was like, ha ha ha, they're smoke grenades. And I was like, okay, good, good.
Yeah, that was cool.
Again, consistency. I don't ask for a lot in my cartoon 80s and 90s cartoon writing, but consistency is important.
Yeah, I thought it was great. And so that gave enough time, enough stalling for the rest of the G.I. Joe team with Mayday, etc. And Eagle Eye, who I don't ever remember seeing before this episode, but he dominates this episode, which is kind of
like
wild.
A sniper dude.
He's like a sharpshooter G.I. Joe.
Who is that? What?
He's like the bullseye of the Joe team.
Oh. He's the one.
Not that that would impress Chan any.
He's the one that shoots guns out of people's hands, because even though you're a top notch sniper and could easily put a bullet through each of their eyes, thus ending the threat, because they are shooting at you with guns, he chooses to go the pacifist route.
Okay. Yeah, he's the opposite of Deadshot.
Yes,
but he's better because every shot results in incapacitation, which you got to be better to do that, right? Isn't that the rule? Like, that's why the A-team was so good.
I feel like Deadshot could incapacitate. He just chooses to kill.
It's a valid point.
I haven't watched the first Suicide Squad, so I could not tell you.
I mean, there's a lot of depictions of him in among many DC properties.
I don't know if you know this, Robert Clark Chan, but Deadshot was played by an Academy Award winner. Thank you.
I recall that the guy who played Deadshot had an Academy Awards experience recently. I don't remember what it was.
He won the award and gave a speech. It was pretty normal. Really, nothing remarkable happened.
Yeah.
And in fact, he said, this is such a life's accomplishment, I will choose to not even come back for 10 years.
Yeah.
You know,
he's got other stuff to do. He's busy.
We call that Deadshot shooting to incapacitate, not to kill. And I'm happy about that.
Mm-hmm. I feel like he did incapacitate someone, but I don't.
I have no memory of that.
No, you're still thinking of Suicide Squad.
No, okay, that's probably it.
You haven't seen it, but it was probably in a trailer.
Yeah, there you go. Maybe before you saw just Batman.
Nonstop watching DC properties.
Oh, guys, I got through the third and fourth minutes of Zack Snyder's Justice League, and then I had to turn it off again. It was too boring.
Oh, okay, I've watched both.
Triggered. somebody out there just got mad at me. So they repel, they capture all nine of the assassins, and immediately Savage blames Metalhead. He's like, yeah, you weren't here. And he's just like, yeah, you told me to leave. And he goes, well, okay, but these guys were doctors and you let them through. He's like, yeah, you told me not to mess with the doctors, you piece of shit. And everybody else is like, you know what, Savage, he's pretty much got you on every count right here. Yeah, it's kind of everybody agrees it's your fault. And so Savage is like, well, you're dumb. Now you have to stay with me because I don't trust you. Metalhead's like, fuck you. I don't trust you. Who cares? Like, I know I'm good. I know you're an asshole.
Yeah, there's another world where this like, you see them go off, and that's an hour and a half long 80s action movie like Tango and Cash.
Yeah, I liked it. I mean, these, and it ends with those two dating, obviously.
Yeah.
100%.
Assuming. Yeah. So then we cut back to Clancy, who's now the Iron Claw, or sort of, and he's calling Steel Raven, our favorite, who has, I think, no lines in this, and he tells her to
she
get
does not.
This.
They clearly did not want to pay the voice actor for this.
Fair. So she just reacts non-verbally. He says, get the silencer. And I'm like, who's yeah. this guy? They cut to him, and he's fucking cool.
Yeah, he's cool as shit. Dope a bounty hunter. Like, this is if there's one thing, like, bounty hunters have to be cool in any medium. They need to be cool. And when they say, like, when he says, get me the silencer, I'm like, oh shit, like, assassin bounty hunter, here we go. And they show him, and he did not disappoint, and he remains cool throughout. And in a show where it's like you're trying to make every character as cool as possible, having one character actually be cool is kind of an accomplishment.
Hold on. Just real quick. I need you to hear this. That was it. That was what I needed you to hear.
Oh, thank you, Cam.
My
thank
disappointed
you,
sigh in the silencer.
What?
He was cool as shit. How dare you? And not only that, what do we learn about the character? We learn that he's an excellent shot. We learn that he's professional, and we learn he's doing it for the money, because Steel Raven gives him a briefcase full of money. He opens it up, looks at it, and is like, my plans have changed. I'm coming with you now. And I'm just like, this dude is the shit. I like him.
Yeah. I like the fact that, because like things go are about to go awry, because obviously he can't go in and start killing people. And he's just like, all right, well, that plan went awry. And I just like that his delivery is just so, like, disaffected. You know, yes. He's like, he's so chill about it. He's not, and especially given the other sort of rogues gallery in that Claw has working for him, who are all unhinged monsters.
They're all very emotionally unstable, yes.
Yeah, like this guy coming in and being like, well, all right, I'm going to go kill some people. Oh, okay, they got away. I guess I'm going to have to kill them again. Like, he is just chill.
It was badass. This dude's badass.
Yeah, if he was whatever, that Chad. Good, if he were that good, A, they should have called him sooner. B, if he can't kill Stone when he's in a coma, and you know that he's not going to kill him because that's the show, like, however much you pump this guy up, he's going to be a disappointment.
But he was.
Disagree.
He was involved in two altercations and won both of them, but never had the shot on Stone because of G.I. Joe's careful planning. And that worked for me. Because look, he has two. Well, I'm just going to jump ahead briefly because we got Gina's favorite scene here in just a second. I don't want to lose that. But he has the first scene where G.I. Joe has figured out that Clancy's the guy. And so they plant the idea of, we're going to put Stone in an ambulance and send him off. Of course, they get ambushed and then ambushed.
No, they have not figured out that Clancy is the guy yet.
A little bit later on in the episode, when they send him on the ambulance, it's because they knew that Clancy was listening, or that, you know, they knew that the word was going to get out. And so they were prepared for it. That's why Stone was not in the ambulance. They were
that's not a Clancy specific thing. That's because they don't figure it out until later. You're reading into it, because specifically later when they do realize it's Clancy, they're like, oh shit.
Well,
Clancy.
True.
But so they haven't realized anything yet. They just like know that there's bad guys around, and they're at like, this is just a generic plan of, we definitely should not send him off in the ambulance that we're telling everyone we're sending him off in.
Right. Well, I guess so just real quick, though, because Silencer is the one person who catches up to that ambulance after they get away, and he wipes out all the Joes. I mean, he defeats every Joe in that ambulance and then murderates the inside of the ambulance, except he's not in there. And so he's like, okay, I guess I got to go back to the hospital. So he wins that encounter, like, very, very intelligently. And then he goes to the hospital, but by the time he gets to Stone, Iron Claw's been defeated and on the retreat. So what does he do? He helps Iron Claw escape by holding back every member of the Joe team by himself. Like, this guy is only successful. Iron Claw was putting him in positions, you know, to not have success. But he was always winning his personal battles, and I think that's what I liked so much about what they did with him. He never took a loss in this episode.
Yeah, I agree. And I think if Chan has a problem with this, then he must have hated Boba Fett in OG Star Wars movies, because he's also technically not successful and had less screen time. But years worth of fans would disagree that he's
well, I mean, here's the thing about Boba Fett is that there isn't a whole thing where it's like, Boba Fett, I've called you here because you're the best of the best and because you've an unstoppable killing record and there's absolutely no way you could fail at this task, and so I'm giving it to you. And then here's 10 bazillion credit tards, and you are, you know, there was none of that like here where it's, you know, like they're just building him up and all this. I will tell you the reason why we got off on the wrong foot. When we were first introduced to the silencer, you see like his boot, and then you see like part of his torso or like the belt, and he's putting on weapons and, you know, all this, getting all set up
like a cool person would do. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like a cool person. Yes. And they were so conspicuously not showing his face. And I was like, is this going to be the thing where, someone saves the day riding up on a motorcycle? And you're like, oh, thanks, bro. And then they take off their helmet and does the little hair flip thing that you get in a shampoo commercial. I was like, what? You're a girl? So I was fully expecting this to be like a badass female assassin. And the fact that it's like a gray haired dude, like,
he was an old guy. With like, yeah, he was cool.
Meh.
Yeah, I would have hated it more if it was a girl, specifically because that's such a trope.
Fair.
The trope of the hardcore buff female assassin.
The trope of female representation, like, obviously.
The coolest one at school, and then it's like, oh, you thought Mac was a guy. Yeah, I'm not, you know,
that's the worst.
No need to pander. Just give me a good fucking badass dude.
You like your princesses, do you? You want more strawberry shortcakes in the show?
Yeah, I like princesses. Who doesn't like princesses?
They did that in didn't they do in one of the PSAs for G.I. Joe with the skateboarder where there's just like, oh, she's really good. Oh, wait, she takes off her helmet. It's a girl. You can't skate with us.
Yeah.
And then the Joe's like, yo, don't be an asshole. She's fucking good. Shit faced. And I couldn't believe they had a blowtorch say that. It was outrageous, but like, there it is, you know.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
But here's the Cobra Mamba.
Cobra Mamba, its power is frightening. Out of the blue, it strikes like lightning.
The Cobra Mamba is a fast attack copter with laser guns and missiles.
These are for squitters.
The Mamba's sides detach to become attack pods.
Triple threat, meanest yet, Cobra Mamba.
Go, Joe!
Nobody beats G.I. Joe, the real American hero.
Cobra Mamba and other vehicles and figures sold separately.
Go, Joe!
Now, back to G.I. Joe.
So, okay, Gina, let's talk about your favorite scene of the entire thing, because Stone starts to recover from his coma slightly. And so Clancy's like, everyone back up. I got this. And then fucking punches him the fuck out.
Yeah. And he's like saying, Clancy, he's like, oh, Clancy. And he's like, yeah, don't worry, baby. Clancy's here for you. And then just fucking punches him hard enough to knock him out. He knocks out a dude who is like just in a coma and is just like, shh, 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 shh.
Oh my God.
It's okay. And it's kind of hardcore for a kid's cartoon. Yeah. And I loved it.
Because he gives him like a 3-inch punch that knocks him out because he has to be inconspicuous because all the Joes are watching him. So he kind of like turns his back, hovers over him, and gives him one of those Bruce Lee punches that knocks him out. And I was howling with delight.
Yes, Stone. Clancy is here.
Clancy? Really?
Don't try to talk. Save your strength.
I left you for dead, Stone. I admire your tenacity, but I cannot allow you to expose me.
Oh, my. He seems to have passed out again.
Oh, my God. That was
everything
so good.
About it, the fact that he taunts him with his real, like, Iron Claw voice is great, too. It's just so good that he's like, oh, shush, daddy's here, and daddy's going to fucking kill you. Oh, it's okay. Oh, my baby. Oh, it's okay. Yeah, daddy's going to wait until you get home, and daddy's going to cut your throat if you tell anyone this. Oh, my little baby, let me stroke your little head, and then I'm going to fucking punch you. It's just so twisted, and I love
great.
It.
Great. I loved it.
Yes, I also thought this was a real fun bit. I don't understand why he did. I mean, I understand because it's the show, but also if he is in a position where he can straight cold cock the guy in his bed, he has enough time to smother him to death.
Except
it takes longer. I think you underestimate how long it actually takes to smother someone. And the Joes definitely would have noticed that.
Well, they had left the room. He had sent them out of the room.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, it takes way less time just to, like, cold cock knock a guy out than it does. Like, I would be concerned that they would come in mid. I think at this point he's still sort of hoping that he can get away with this continue. But like, you know, if he just goes and fucking smothers him, and plus, like, if he smothers him and then leaves the room, he can't very well be like, I don't know what happened. He just stopped breathing.
He's in a goddamn coma. So all he has to do is be like, oh no, he stopped breathing after he stopped breathing. So,
But that's the thing though. I mean, the whole reason to kill Stone is to preserve the facade. But if you kick everybody else out of the room and they're waiting right outside and you kill him, you've lost the facade. Therefore, there's no point to it.
Also, like, I don't know how many people you've smothered with a pillow, but nine times out of 10, you're breaking their nose when you're doing that because it takes a lot of effort to smother someone.
You just hold their mouth and nose closed.
Right now,
I'm trolling for information because you know way too much. I'm trying to get you to trip up and be like, look, it's like the time that my Aunt Sylvie was really giving me shit. And I did what I had to do because I'm from Jersey.
Aunt Sylvie, that's a white lady name. I'm Italian.
This is good. I don't want to have this conversation on the air
again.
Aunt Donna. Now that's an aunt I can get behind. I don't actually have an Aunt Donna, but it sounds like
not anymore. You don't.
Not after you smothered her. Jesus.
I think I have all the information I need to go to the FBI on this one.
Guys, this 6-year sting operation is a success. We got her. We got her. Wrap it up. An amazing moment happens because the Silencer and his crew have now come to the hospital. Scar is now going for the offensive. They just blow out the side of the room by the window where the bed with Stone is lying, and they almost kill him just straight out by blowing out the wall. And I was like, well, that's cool as shit. And immediately Clancy looks at everybody, he's like, oh, gotta go. And that's like, a little conspicuous.
Like, what?
He had plenty of time to come up with something. He could even just have said, like, oh my God, there's Gatling guns in an airship pointed at me. I'm scared. I'm leaving. I'm running away now. But instead he says, here's what he says.
I've got to be somewhere else right now.
I've got to be somewhere else right now. The fact that
they've done so much to sort of maintain this thing. And for the most part, I'm like, yeah, okay, I'll buy that. He's really trying to protect his cover and all that. To say, sorry, I've got to be somewhere else right now is...
Look, you can keep up your cover, Chan, but as soon as a wall gets blown out, you're like, you know what? Fuck you, I'll buy. Think what you want.
That was the one part of the episode where I was like, I mean, they know now, right?
I think it's just at
that point, he's, you know.
And Gina, this is why I said before, they know now. Immediately after he says that, they hatch the ambulance scheme while they see him in a doorway listening to them.
No, but they don't know now. You can't. I think they know. You can't just rewrite the episode later on. Someone is like, wait, the only
metalhead and stone. Yeah.
Yeah.
Metalhead and stone who weren't there.
In real time. You can't pretend that they already knew it because there's a whole thing where in the moment they're like, oh my God, it's Clancy.
To be fair, though, I could totally imagine a situation where every other member of the Joe team figures it out right here, but Sergeant Savage and Metalhead absolutely
you're
do
just
not.
Trying to not seem like you confused something.
Look, I confuse everything all the time. That is my brand, just like your brand is Care Bear sunglasses that cost $35.
Did you pick up those sunglasses, by the way?
Maybe.
Wow, there it is. There it is. You think, boy, when Elon Musk gets a hold of your information, you're going to be donezo. They already have enough info on you to get you to buy $35 Care Bear sunglasses. You're going to have like 8 Teslas in your garage. You're like, I don't know. It just seemed like a good idea when the Twitter ad went by.
I'm fine with it. I would rather see ads targeted at me than more ads for like baby shit or something like that.
No, wait a minute. Fair, who's trying to sell baby shit online? Like that is a biohazard.
Yeah, it's
No, you never know. I mean, people are saying it's the next cure for COVID. So I hear Republicans are injecting baby shit into themselves.
Oh, if that's the case, then give me a baggie. So we go to the ambulance plan, which I've kind of outlined already. So a whole bunch of them with eagle eye kind of riding shotgun, is ambulancing away. They actually careen over an entire SCAR battalion that was waiting for them.
I'm surprised Mayday does not break her leg here, by the way.
I was shocked. You know what? We didn't actually see for sure that she didn't break her
leg. That's true. I mean, she's crashing things and like rolling out. And I legitimately was like, she broke her leg, right?
Yes.
I'm surprised they didn't play the Dukes of Hazzard theme song as this happened.
That was great.
Like slow motion, like, yeah.
It was real fun. And the fact that the silencer, as I said before, chases after them, blows out the tires, causes them to crash, takes out Eagle Eye, and then opens up the back door, blows out the entire inside, and is like, he's not here. Let's go back. It was awesome. Everything about this, I loved this scene. I loved this action scene. Cool. It made sense, and everybody did what they had to do. G.I. Joe knew they weren't going to be able to get away. They were just trying to delay as long as they could, and they end up fucking crashing. And then the silencer wins the day, but it was a dupe. And so it's like, cool. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, I mean, like, the only thing that would have made this cooler is if, like, he actually shot the two of them, and then it flashes back to a scene where the Joes are like, whoever goes out there is probably going to die. And, you know, they either, like, draw straws or they're all trying to sacrifice themselves, and you just see it, and then it flashes back, and you see a horribly, hideously wounded Mayday. And then the silencer walks up to her and puts the gun like right up to her face. And she goes, fuck. And then right before she says you, he blows her brains out.
She just says, Bill, it's your bait. And then.
Oh, boy. Guys, we got heavy there. So G.I. Joe back at the hospital wants to take Savage out.
Also,
they want to take him out of the hospital.
Not going
to
talk about the fact that he's like, take me back to the hospital. She, Raven, Iron Raven, Ravenclaw, what's her name?
Raven. Yeah, Ravenclaw. Raven,
is flying the plane, Hufflepuff, opens up the little back door. He jumps his motorcycle. There's not even a ramp there. He just like pulls up on the handlebars and goes flying into this plane that's, I don't know, 200 feet in the air.
Look, if Vanilla Ice can do it in Cool as Ice, I expect a guy as cool as the Silencer to pull it off in G.I. Joe Extreme. That's all I'm trying to say.
I would not know.
Oh, BS. You do not know that scene from Cool as Ice. Everyone knows that scene. Gina, back me up.
You're as cool as ice.
That is not it. You
willing to sacrifice some Joe.
Oh, and then world building that I didn't even know I wanted until we got there. Eagle Eye turns to Mayday. Mayday, first off, is thirsty for Eagle Eye. She's like, I've never seen a man shoot like that before. Want to shoot, you know.
What? I don't remember this.
Mayday was into Eagle Eye, and she's all like, I've never seen a guy shoot like you before. And then Eagle Eye gives us a backstory and goes, there's one person who's as good as me, and that man is, and I knew him way back in the day, and he turned into the Silencer. Dun, no. Dun, dun. They were former people who knew each other. But Mayday was still into Eagle Eye, like, super hard.
I mean, here's...
Eagle Eye, you need that lamppost pretty hard.
The unspoken line, of course, is... Now I would like to hit your lamppost very hard.
Thank you. That's what I was trying to say earlier, but I couldn't find the words.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, that's why you need a professional like me here.
I mean, that's why we keep you around.
Why are there chainsaws on that tank? That
okay,
is
I asked that tank? Same question. So his G.I. Joe tank designs get a little weird. It is an oversized tank with two weird chainsaw blades sticking out the front. Not even big enough to like do anything, because if it by the time you get close enough for the chainsaws to hit you, the tank has run you over. These are stubby chainsaws.
They're like angled out to the side, sort of. Like,
Is that for deer? Is that in case deer run into the?
You know what? I would buy that. I would buy that they're in like heavy deer country and they've lost too many scar tanks already.
I'm into it. So coming back to the hospital, you've got Savage and Metalhead there with the infirmed and comatose Lieutenant Stone. And Stone starts to wake up and talk again. And immediately everyone is talking over him like, y'all, I just wrote here. Oh, my God. Let the man talk. Why could he not get one word out without these people jumping all over him?
Got me, man.
I was kind of expecting an answer there. I don't know what's happening. Yeah, it's like every single time he's just like, okay, the secret. We know there's a secret. Oh, my God, let him talk, you know. When he started talking in the earlier scene, I'm just like, why are we letting Clancy hover over him? Why don't we just pull everyone back and hear what he has to say?
Well, yeah. I mean, they were busy figuring it out themselves at that point, so... Like, shush, 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 shush. We don't need another traitor. We got this. I got this. No. I will answer it. I got it. No. Just give me a minute. I got this.
Yes. But to be fair, though, they asked the one good question to figure it out, because they were just like, well, wait a minute. You got a call that says the fight in 48th was ordered away from the guard duty. Only two people have the designation allowed to do that. One of them is in a coma. The other is Clancy. This is the question they should have been asking immediately to themselves.
Yeah.
Then you know what? They eventually got there.
I mean, I would buy that there's they're at a hospital and all this shit is going on. They don't have a second to think. Metalhead certainly should have figured it out on whatever leisurely walk he went on when everything was going on.
His moonlight stroll. and then to what everyone's favorite, all of a sudden they're yelling at Clancy, we know it's you, we know who you are. Immediate smoke bomb, immediate quick change. Gina points and wants answers.
Yeah, I don't like it.
I love it.
That's a very in-depth costume he's got on there. But I do really like the idea that I feel like each one of these is like a little mini movie, and I love that the next little mini movie is gonna be like them going on a mission to fucking rescue Clancy before he's murdered by the rest of Claw. Yeah.
Why wasn't he murdered so long ago? Why are they convinced that he's still alive?
I think, I mean, you know, obviously it's because it's a kid's cartoon, but they sort of justified it like in a previous episode by saying we need him in case there's like information that we need to get out of him.
Right. The Claw would have him, but why would G.I. Joe think that he is still alive?
Oh, I mean, I think that individually they probably all think he's dead, but you're never allowed to say that on mission. You're never allowed to say like, what are we doing? All the people in this village are dead. Why are we pretending they're not and going on this mission? You always all gotta right. pretend. You gotta pretend that you still have hope.
Okay. One person who didn't have hope was a heavy metal, because Iron Claw decides to just go for it right there. His secret's out. You may as well kill Stone while you're here. And heavy metal goes at him, and Iron Claw just beats the fuck out of him. It was so good. Like, Iron Claw should destroy heavy metal in hand-to-hand combat. And he just takes his Iron Claw, grabs him by the face, and like slams him against the ground or something. And I was just like, oh my God, that is so violent. And I'm here for it. I loved it. And then, as we've learned before, Sergeant Savage can kind of fight a little bit with Iron Claw, but Iron Claw will defeat Sergeant Savage eventually when he stands a better chance, and he's about to take him out when, waking up from the coma, Stone grabs him by the cape, pulls him off balance, and together they're able to defeat Iron Claw in this hallway battle, and I was into it.
I really dug Iron Claw's move of pulling all of the pins on that silly ass grenade bandolier.
Yes!
That
Savage has. Me too. Yeah, I really, yeah. I dug, I was like, oh shit, that was a solid move. Like if I saw that in some Marvel movie or something, I'd be like, oh, this is cool.
I liked it.
And also and like it, for yeah. years, G.I. Joe characters have had those things. And I don't know. Maybe that is indeed what, some actual soldiers have, but it seems pretty silly and a pretty difficult thing to deal with the logistics of.
Seems unsafe.
Yeah.
But also in the middle of all this, the fight in 48th has been recalled to guard the hospital before Scar can really get anywhere. So they sort of repel the outside Scar forces, also preventing the silencer from coming in and finishing the job. So they end up sort of, Iron Claw has to retreat. He meets up with a silencer who's on his way in, and he's like, no, just we got to get us out of here. And silencer's like, I'll hold off literally every member of the Joe team and the fight in 48th so you can get your dumb ass on your little helicopter. And then not only does silencer accomplish this feat, he then joins Iron Claw in the helicopter. Like he runs as fast as Iron Claw to the copter while also stopping all of G.I. Joe. This man is incredible.
Yeah, he's worth every penny.
Except that he didn't actually do what he was paid to do.
I mean, he followed
did everything
orders.
He was paid to do. He followed orders. What are you talking about, Chan? He's not the one who makes the overall plan. He is but an instrument.
He was paid to kill a guy. Guy's still alive.
Chan, if you can't.
Done. Because he got bad intel from the guy who sent him after the ambulance.
His job. If you call an exterminator and be like, there's cockroaches in my house. And they spray, and then cockroaches from outside the house like come right back in. You're like, oh, I got bad intel. I'm sorry.
This is the equivalent of someone saying, I have cockroaches in my house. Can you come and spray? And you go and spray, and then they say, oh, my bad. The cockroaches were actually in my vacation house several states away.
Thank you. This is the silencer is a Stradivarius violin given to somebody who doesn't know how to play violin. So the sound that it was making
Look,
was not good.
Metaphor
but that's not
worked,
the violin's fault.
Mine worked. You didn't need to pile it on.
Yeah, but I already had mine ready to go as I was waiting.
Yours was bad.
The idea of having a beautiful instrument handed to somebody who doesn't know how to play is a great analogy for this. And I'm not hearing otherwise, even if I'm wrong. Thank you. This is the hill I will die on. Let me have my violin moment, Gina.
You already died on too many hills. You got no more hills left.
Yep.
Yeah. Not good hills. It's a lot of death hills. Okay. So they do escape and they get away. At which point they, like, hey, where's Clancy? Because we now know Iron Claw was pretending to be Clancy. Now, my natural inclination would be, oh, Clancy's dead. That would be a logical
Chan
ABC
said,
here.
You stole Chan's line from.
Well, here's the deal. I wrote it right here before Chan had that line.
Look, he was thinking about it, so obviously he has to say it, even if it's already been said.
For someone who has improv training, you're not great at adjusting on the fly.
No, but
I see what you did there.
Thank you.
I'm acknowledging it, so we can just move the fuck up.
No, that's the end of the episode. They wonder, where's Clancy? Like, we better go save him. And then we roll credits.
Yeah. And then I think the title of the next episode is something like, we're going to go find Clancy and stuff.
I believe, actually, yes. I'm looking at it. We're going to go find Clancy and stuff. That is the name of the episode. You guys, I don't know if you guys noticed during the closing credits, there was an ad for what? Transformers Beast Wars.
There was? Oh.
Yeah, if you watch the closing credits, there's like coming up next on, you know, was it Appleton, Wisconsin, Fox Channel? It's Transformers Beast Wars. I'm looking at it like, yep, fucking just as hideous as I remember it. Dear Lord. And that's G.I. Joe Extreme, Iron Claw Unmasked. Y'all, I feel like a broken record. This is a very fun and smart episode that I'm very happy with. I'm so glad. And I'll probably regret it a few more seasons of different G.I. Joes down the road, but I'm so glad we're doing G.I. Joe Extreme, giving it a fair chance and finding out it's actually kind of brilliant.
Yeah, I feel like sometimes we do these, you start out lukewarm, but then when we break down why it's brilliant, you're more into it. Have we swayed you at all?
I remain lukewarm on it.
Oh.
I'm not mad,
okay,
but it's fine.
Yeah, Chan doesn't get excited about a lot, so this for him is about as happy as he can be in life.
When my child was born, I was like, "Yeah, it's okay."
And that's our show, everybody. You're not coming back from that. There's no point in even trying.
I got nothing. That's why I did not continue, because I needed one of you to pull the plug on this thing. But yeah. No, none of you edited me out of that scene. You just let me hang out there.
I don't have plug power. Plug power goes to Ray. Otherwise, I would be pulling the plug 30 seconds into every podcast we do.
You don't have that power.
Yeah, that's why we had to take it away from you.
That's fair.
Season 2 remembers, Gina.
Why you should never give me power of attorney over your life if you're ever in a coma, because I am a plug puller.
Look, Ray is dumb. Not even Ray is that dumb.
Gina, I do want you to know we did give, if anything happens to us, you're going to have, for our child, you're going to have official, going to be the one in charge.
No one's seeing that kid ever again, if that's the case.
Just so you know, you'll be raising a beautiful child. So thank you for that. Apparently you don't even need the person's consent to put them on this form. You can just write them down. So congratulations. Barack Obama. You're the new legal guardian. Here you go. Because I'm a ghost. Yeah, that's apparently the word at the end of this sentence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yep. That kid's not making it to 10.
Oh, jeez. Well, that is Knowing is Half the Podcast. G.I. Joe Extreme, Iron Claw Unmasked, another successful outing for the G.I. Joe Extreme team. You know what? It's the new standard. Every episode is very good, and we just have to accept it. And we're going to have to petition IMDb to raise it from 5.4. Which is where it currently stands, up to at least in the high eights. I honest to God believe it belongs there, and I am outraged that it is in the fives. It's like nobody watched it, but they had an opinion. That's just stupid. I hate people.
Look, five is low. I think somewhere between 6 and 7 is probably accurate.
Yeah, but
eight,
Deke,
is a little much.
Deke is
compared
in the eight.
To Deke, everything's a fucking eight.
Yeah,
the room
is an
eight.
Looking at if Batman the Animated Series is a 10 and Transformers Mecha Dinosaurs, whatever the fuck we watched the other day, is a 1.
That's the one. Transformers Mecha Dinosaurs.
I would put this out. I'm going to go with a 6 or 7. Probably a 7. But yeah, if you're saying like Batman the Animated Series is a 10, or Harley Quinn is a 10, or X-Men is a 9 or something like that, then I would put this at a 7.
Okay. Here's the question I'm going to pose to you right now, because I just looked it up, so you don't need to. Transformers Beast Wars on IMDb, what do you think it's rated right now?
I mean, based on your tone, it's going to be unusually high, but I would say that what it should be is when you click to see what it is, your computer shoots you in the face.
Yeah, that is correct.
Accurate. So my point is, Transformers Beast Wars is IMDb rated 8.1.
Nope.
And if that piece of shit that deserves a 2 at best is an 8.1, G.I. Joe Extreme is an 8.5 minimum. That's all
again,
I'm trying to say.
It's like you can't really compare these things. Well,
apparently you can because there's a number system set up.
Okay, if you're listening to this podcast, we don't want you to go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We don't want you to hit click, like, subscribe, hit that bell.
We
want you to do is go to IMDb and just ratio the shit out of Beast Wars.
Yeah.
Just drag that rating down because it is unnaturally high.
Yeah. Okay.
And we will keep doing episodes of Beast Wars until you all realize how bad that show is.
I can't agree to that.
Do not do this. And here's the deal. Beast Wars is 8.1 with 7,900 ratings.
Okay, G.I. Joe Extreme. Every single one of our 10,000 listeners.
G.I. Joe Extreme is it. G.I. Joe Extreme is at 5.3 with a mere 150 ratings. We could actually do real good in this world if we got people to go to IMDb, give G.I. Joe Extreme a 9 or a 10. We could very plausibly, with the power of this show, raise it to at least over 7, where it very clearly belongs.
Okay, yeah. I like this. Then what I'll say is, everybody, go to IMDb, ratio the shit out of Beast Wars, drag it down.
Yeah.
Zero stars. Keep going until there's nothing left. It's like a 0.2. Just destruction. Salt the earth. Burn it all to the ground.
Yeah. You can do both things. Both things are possible.
We go to IMDb.
Real good. I'm suggesting something we could actually do. And here's Chan. No, instead, let's do nothing.
1 stars all around.
Oh my
when
God.
I die, I want my gravestone to just be Robert Clark Chan. 1 star.
1 star.
That's it.
You know, we have a 1-star review for Knowing Us Half the Podcast.
We do.
Guess who left it?
A genius, surely.
You don't have to guess. It was literally host of the show, Robert Clark Chan. And looking at it now, we have more than one 1-star review, but you know what? Fuck it. Who cares? Chan was the original. I have now created an IMDb account since we've been talking and given G.I. Joe Extreme a 10 out of 10 rating. Guys, let's get on this. Let's save G.I. Joe Extreme. We could actually do this. Like, we can't do much with this show. Here is a small thing we could do to make the world a better place.
Yeah, no one else has anything going on right now.
Yeah, we're all on side with COVID, right?
Focus your hate. Take down Beast Wars. It doesn't matter if nobody notices. You'll know in your heart that you did right.
You can do both. I'm on the side of doing both. I'm on the side of dragging one down and raising the other up.
We will do no dent in Beast Wars whatsoever, but we could save the good name of G.I. Joe Extreme for future generations.
It'll feel good to give it 1 star, to give that abomination 1 star.
Okay, good. Do what you want with Beast Wars. Look, I can't control that, but I just want good things. Look, Chan, to build the tallest building, you can either put in the work and build the tallest building or knock down every other tall building until yours is the tallest. Me and Chan have different philosophies on how to approach this, apparently.
And see, I'm the person that tries everything to succeed. So while I was building the tallest building, I would also be knocking down other buildings.
You know what? That's on brand. I'm
ambitious.
Yeah. So I take a
you'll be more likely to succeed if you try everything approach.
Gino works 4 times harder than all of us.
Yes,
and will die of a heart attack in about 4 years.
Worth it.
when we inevitably have the Witch Knowing is Half the Podcast host quiz, and the question is, how will you achieve the tallest building? There are three choices. Now you know where those answers came from. And we all know you're all me, unfortunately. I'm sorry. Sorry that happened to you.
Oh.
100, and we can make a difference. Okay, guys, that's the end of the show. I don't want to argue about this anymore. Plus, we got to get Gina out. It's almost 9:30. Okay, so that's our show. You can hit us on Facebook.com.
Don't show them how the sausages made.
Knowing is Half the Podcast, or go to Patreon.com/KnowingIsHalfThePodcast, or go to Patreon.com and search Knowing is Half the Podcast, and we will show up now that Chan changed our thing saying that we're not a porn site that I accidentally turned on at one point.
And never changed back when you were asked to change it back.
I didn't know it was a thing. I don't read emails.
I believe that was a direct chat that you responded to.
I don't read direct chats. And that's the whole deal. So you can also go to Twitter while you still are there for a short period of time before the hate bots attack you in the droves. You can go to at G.I. Joe Podcast for that, or individually. I was at Almighty Ray.
At 999 RPMs.
I'm at Gina Ippy.
And that is G.I. Joe Extreme. Go to IMDb, make it happen, and whatever else you want to do, that's on your soul.
Situation critical.
Roll call! Ballistic! Harpoon!
Mayday!
Blast Rider!
Thunder Savage!
Greek Sight!
Metalhead!
Right! Lieutenant Stone!
The odds are 1,000,000 to 1.
And that's the way we like it!
Hey, it's Brent Pope, the host of Breakfast with Brent Pope. You've seen me on some of your favorite TV shows saying things like, "Give it up, Jimmy, you gotta sink this putt to win." Or, "I wouldn't jump up and down until we stabilize the hydraulics." On Breakfast with Brent Pope, I sit down with guests from the entertainment world, working actors, comedians, writers, stunt people, you get it. And we do it all over breakfast, or should I say, Breakfast. Every week is a new episode of Breakfast, and here's what you get. Inside Hollywood info, like, how cool is it to act with Ed O'Neill? Spoiler alert, it's really cool. And what the heck is a gaffer? You get great Breakfast recs and foodie debates like, when should you go hash browns and when do you go home fries? I know the answer to that. Trust me, my pancake posse, my bacon brigade. Listen up, because Breakfast is the most delightful 30 minutes of your week. So dig in, it's Breakfast time. Breakfast with Brent Pope, available at Breakfast.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever fine podcasts are found.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.